Good to see everyone this morning. Kind of get things squared away here. Once again, we are glad to have our visitors back this morning. We need to all encourage them as much as we can, as Tom talked about in his Bible class this morning. We need to be edifying one another as much as we can.
Amen.
That's building them up, building each other up. The topic of this morning's sermon is your baptism scriptural? Ephesians 4, 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So there's only one. An example of rebaptism, and I can hear Ed already. Ed says there's only one baptism, just like we read in Ephesians. Thank you. But many times, people that are baptized into other denominations or for other reasons believe in their mind that they truly are baptized. I was thinking about this morning when I was preparing for this. And I hate to use this example with Christianity, but certain habitual drug abusers, because of the drugs they are abusing, causes their skin to crawl. And when their skin crawls, they think they have spiders crawling on them. There's no spider there, but you cannot convince them that these spiders aren't crawling on them, because it's in their head. I also watched a old movie, it's been some time ago, old black and white movie. And they were up in around Maryland, somewhere up in there, and the state had to come out and contact a whole bunch of people to inform them that the man that had performed their wedding ceremony did not have a license to be performing marriage ceremonies. So the state had to inform all these people that they had to get remarried. Well, these people up to that point thought that they were married. Well, people now think that they're baptized up to a certain point, and they think their baptism's good even when it's not. For the sake of the subject matter this morning, we're going to talk about rebaptism. And the Bible has an example of people needing to be rebaptized. Turn over to Acts, the 19th chapter. Acts, the 19th chapter. I'll be starting in verse 1 and going through verse 5 or 6. Here it's talking about the disciples at Ephesus. And it starts out, here in Acts 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And then in verse 3, it's talking about they had been baptized. And in verse 3, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." Their baptism was lacking. Now we're into verse 4. Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." So this is requiring a rebaptism. Now look at verse 5. "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So they had to be rebaptized. They had to be baptized once again. But these individuals truly believed up to the point when Paul told them that their baptism was good. They thought everything was just perfect, that it was good. But he informed them that they were baptized wrong baptism. Elements of scriptural baptism. First, we're going to talk about this morning is the mode. And that is immersion or burial. We have to be buried with Christ in baptism. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Romans 6:3. Also, Colossians 2:12 talks about this. We have to be buried with him. The authority has to be right. It has to be in the name of Jesus Christ. If I baptize anyone in the name of Sam Carman, it's not going to be worth anything. Not worth anything. Just like Ed says, they ain't doing nothing but getting wet. So we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now turn over to Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Also Acts 2:38, Acts 10:48, and Acts 19:5 all talks about this. The scriptures that I'm using this morning, notice that there are other scriptures. These are only a few to affirm what I'm saying. The purpose has to be right. It has to be for remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Then Paul said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Once again, just as before, we see here that they needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they had to do for the remission of sins. Part of the reason that I decided to preach on this morning was most of y'all have heard me tell this story. My late wife grew up a Baptist. She was baptized in the Baptist church. I grew up in the Church of Christ, and I truly believed that if you were baptized, whatever, your baptism was good. After we'd been married for about 2 years, she'd been going to church with me on a very regular basis. She came to me one day and she said, I was not baptized for the right reason. She said, I need to be rebaptized. And she was baptized into the Lord's church. I wanted to preach this morning because of the simple fact that there may be some out here in our congregation or someone that you may know that need to learn more about this and be baptized for the right reason. The next thing we're going to look at this morning is the subject, the person being baptized. They need to be a penitent believer. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's a pretty easy statement. Pretty down to the point. Also Acts 2:38 and Acts 8:37. We need to have believe and be baptized. We can't just say, well, I think I'll just do this, you know. Maybe it'll be okay. We need to be firm believers. Is your baptism scriptural? When rebaptism is necessary, the wrong mode, when water is poured on you or when you're sprinkled. I want to know, how many people do you know of that was buried that only had a handful of dirt poured on them? Or just had a little dirt sprinkled on them. They had to be completely covered when they were buried. Well, guess what? When we're baptized, if we're baptized into Christ's death, We have to be buried with him. The only way to be buried is to be covered. So we need to be covered. The wrong authority. Someone other than Jesus Christ. Just like I said a while ago, if I baptized you in the name of Sam Carman, you ain't doing nothing but getting wet. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The wrong purpose. There are a lot of denominations out there that believe that once you make the good confession, you're saved from that point on. Most of the time they believe that the only reason you need to be baptized is to join their church, their local congregation. That is for the wrong purpose. As you see here on the screen, it's because we're saved. We're just doing it for a public confession. That's not a good enough reason. The wrong subject. I want you to really pay attention to this one. They're not penitent believers. We've talked, several of us here lately have talked about this, about how that we think that and feel that some of the people that have been baptized recently were not baptized for the right reason. We think they were baptized to please their parents or please grandparents or please someone other than being a penitent believer. The only reason that you should be getting baptized is because you know that your soul is in danger and that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins in order to go to heaven. You shouldn't be doing it because mom and daddy said, you need to be baptized. And we say, well, get them off my back, I'll get baptized. Or my grandparents are coming in, I want to make a good show, you know, make them feel good. So, hey, I'll go get baptized, you know, while they're here, you know, make them look good. All these are the wrong thing. Also, if you're an infant, an infant cannot know the difference from right and wrong. They cannot be of the age of accountability and accept Jesus Christ by saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So guess what? They're not doing anything but getting water on them. So all these things are things that we need to be talking about. Is your baptism scriptural? Make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Make sure about it. Those of you that subscribe to our website and you get my emails of the comment of the day, if you've read your comment of the day today, you'll know that I was in Matthew. And it was talking about the second coming of Christ. And it talks about how that his angels will come down with sounds of trumpet and they will gather together the elect. Guess what? If you're not baptized for the right reason, they're not going to be gathering you up. They're going to bypass you. Is that not going to be a bad feeling to know that you're bypassed? Because you know you ain't going up there, you're going down there. And that's a bad thing to be thinking about. That's why I stated in my email this morning that if you're not sure about your election, come to church service this morning and help make your election sure. Because I've said this before and I'll say it again this morning. Each and every one of our goals in this whole room should be to get to heaven.
Amen.
So we can spend all of eternity together forever. And if you don't like, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you don't like the people in this congregation, you better go to working on it because you're going to have to spend all of eternity with them. I think about that growing up with my brothers and sisters and being on long vacation trips. And we get to fussing and fighting and daddy saying, don't make me pull this car over. I somehow don't think God's going to be saying that. He just ain't going to let us in. We ain't going to be in there in the first place to be causing no problem. To say, don't make me pull heaven over. Because if I have to pull heaven over, we're all getting a whooping. It ain't going to work that way. We ain't going to be there in the first place. We need to examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. We need to examine ourselves every day of our life to make sure that what we're doing is scriptural and that we're doing what we need to do in order to get to heaven. If we're not doing what we need to do to get to heaven, we better work on it. Guess what? If you need help, I'm only a phone call away. Guess what? I'll be glad to set up a Bible study with you. I'll do whatever it takes. I know Ed will. I know Hans will. I know there's several people in this congregation that will. So that we can all get to heaven. I put up the plan of salvation. I usually just say it, but I decided to put it on the board since we're talking about baptism this morning. First thing you got to do is hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way you're going to have faith, is by hearing the word. And the word of God comes from our Bible. We read that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter what I say. I can stand up here and give you quotes of Sam Carman all day long, and it ain't going to be worth anything. But when I read out of the holy word of God, the scriptures, you better listen to what's being said. Second, you need to believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Once again, simple statement. We need to repent of all of our sins. We can't just repent of one or two of them and say, well, you know, Brother Sam, you know, I know this is a sin, but I like to do it. So, you know, I'll repent of all these sins, but I want to keep a couple of these, you know, in my back pocket, you know, because I enjoy them. No, it doesn't work that way. We got to repent of all of our sins. Acts 17:30. In the time of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth men everywhere to repent. We need to repent. He's not winking at these things no more. We need to confess Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Then once again, we need to be baptized. And there ain't no pouring, ain't no sprinkling. You're going to be immersed into the water, buried with him in baptism. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We need to be buried with him in baptism. The last thing we got to do, and this is just as important as all of them, we need to be faithful to the end of our lives. Revelation 2:10. It doesn't do any good just to get baptism, come up out of the water and say, hey, I got my ticket punched, I'm going to heaven. I can do what I want to. It don't work that way. Revelation 2:10 says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Is that not what our goal is, to have that crown of life?
Amen.
You know, I talk about eternal life, and you know, we as mortal man have trouble conceiving eternity, because everything that we know and everything we experience here on earth has a beginning and has an end. But eternity goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I could stand up here for days saying ever and ever and ever. It's just going to go on forever. And you better think about that. So many people here on this earth today say, well, I'm prepared to go to hell. I just like living my life. But they think that hell is going to be a minute period of time. But it's not going to be. Once again, it's going to be for all of eternity. There ain't going to be no. It'll be over one day. So we would all need to work to get that crown alive so we don't have to worry about it. So we can have fellowship one with another. Some of you out there may be sitting there thinking, you know, I wasn't baptized for the right reason. You know, I've talked to some individuals that said here lately, I don't know if my baptism was good because I was so young. I don't know if I really understood it or not. Hey, if there's any doubt, better do it the right. Make sure it's right. If we can help you any way this morning, if there's any doubt about your baptism, let's study about it at least. Let's get together and we go through the scriptures and we find out what the person that baptized you said. Let's find out if your scriptural baptism was scriptural. Because it ain't going to do you any good whatsoever if you go through life thinking you've got a good baptism only to get before the judgment seat of God and hear those words, depart, I never knew you. It's going to be a bad, bad thing. If you need to put Christ on in baptism the first time and do it right, we invite you to come. If there's problems in your life spiritually, hey, prayers of the congregation, edification can do wonders. You don't know how many people I've talked to in life that said, the congregation praying for my problems just solved everything. It's a great thing. If we can help you any way spiritually this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.